this scripture, we read about somebody that wanted to do right and always did right in the sight of God. Now, how many know that it's possible for us to do what is right in our own eyes? In other words, in our own opinion, but not be in accordance with the will of God. We understand that that's possible. And we have all been in that position in life where we do what we think is right. The scripture tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And so just because it sounds right to you and it sounds right to me, it doesn't mean that it's right in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass, 18:1, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves, and he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. We sometimes misunderstand what God is doing. As you recall, when the children of Israel were beginning to get sick, God instructed the priest to make a serpent of brass. And God told the prophet that if we would look upon the serpent when it was lifted up, that everybody that looked upon the serpent would be healed. Isn't that right? Amen. And so we find out that during the course of time, that thing which God erected as a symbol later on became an object of worship. Now God instructed that the serpent be made and looked upon. And God made a promise that if you look upon it, you will be healed. But man always takes things a step further, in that he began to think that the power was in the serpent rather than in the word of God. We get confused sometimes. Sometimes we think that the church is the bricks rather than the people. And so this man Hezekiah was called to set things straight. He was somebody that wanted to make things right. You know, sometimes we see things that are wrong, but we don't want to make them right because we don't want to offend anybody. But the Bible says of Hezekiah that he did right in the sight of God. And one of the things that he did was he had to destroy the myths and the erroneous thinking of the people. Hallelujah. He said, you're worshiping this thing, this serpent of brass. He broke it up. He said, Nehushtan. Nehushtan means it is only brass. What's wrong with you? Don't you understand? We worship the true and living God, not the objects that God has commanded us to look upon. We sometimes get off because we worship the things in our life that God has given to us rather than the God who gave us the things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do the right thing. Don't forget God. Worship Him and Him only. Hallelujah. It said He removed the high places and He broke all of the images, all of those things which the people had begun to worship. You know, it's easy to fall into idolatry because we admire things that we have in our possession. We admire our cars. We admire our houses. We admire our clothes. We admire our shoes and our suits and our ties. We admire the gold chains, and we admire the rings on our fingers. We admire the diamonds and the rubies that God has blessed us with in life. And we begin to admire them to the point where we feel like they are maintaining us rather than us maintaining them. How many know that whatever God sends into your life, He sends in your life to serve you. He does not send it into your life for you to serve it. He put the brazen serpent there to serve the people. It served the purpose. But the people began serving the thing rather than the God who gave it. Hallelujah. Said He cut down the groves. We began to admire our surroundings, our neighborhoods, the places that we live in, and the beauty of nature all around us, and the plantings that we use to beautify and enhance our surroundings. And we stand back and we look at our surroundings and we open up a place in our heart for these things that ought never be open unto those things. For it is the place that is reserved for God in our lives. So God began to notice that Hezekiah was a man who was willing to do the right thing. His heart was right. He knew the difference between the gift and the giver. He knew the difference between those things which were to serve us and those things which we were to serve. And he understood that we should worship the Lord our God, and Him only should we serve. Hallelujah. But into his life, just as it happens to us, sometimes things just don't go right. Even when you've done right, things don't go right. Now, when we read on further, we'll find that Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah, was a righteous man, and that he exceeded the righteousness of all of the kings of Judah before him. And then they start talking about Hosea, who was the king of Israel. Now we look here and we see that the scripture is talking about two kings. One was the king of Judah, Hezekiah, and Hosea was the king of Israel. And it so happened that the king of Israel and the people of Israel did not do right in the sight of God. But the people of Judah at this time, under the leadership of Hezekiah, were doing all that they could to please God. So we want you to understand that one tribe doesn't have to do everything that the other tribe is doing. One church doesn't have to do what the other church, another church, is doing. Here we see, and we would have thought that both Israel and Judah would be doing the right thing, but it was a different culture because it was different leadership in the camp. There was a man on the throne who didn't want to do the right thing in Israel, and he led the people astray. But there was a man on the throne in Judah who wanted to do what was right, and he led the people in the right way. Further on in the scripture, we find that because the people of Israel had worshipped idols and because they were doing all of these abominable things, God sent upon them captivity. The king of Assyria came and captured them and took them away. And it wasn't easy to take them away. It took them 3 years. 3 years. So that was a long, long battle and a long, long war. And because they were not doing what was right in the sight of God, they went into captivity. Ruled by a righteous man. Hallelujah. And a wise man. And he defeated him in battle, but he underestimated his wisdom. He wanted to carry him off, but it was not to be so. Sometimes you get defeated. And what you have to learn to do is, when you're defeated, you still rely on the Lord. Because he's right there with you. You might have to lose some possessions, but you won't be carried away. Hezekiah stood up to the king of Assyria, and he essentially bargained for the people of Judah. See, sometimes life puts you in a bargaining situation. He knew that kings loved money. And so he went and he took all the silver, took all the gold out of the temple of God and gave it to the king of Assyria. But he still wanted the people. And then he decided to go in to the temple of God and to begin to pray and to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord delivered him, and he said that they would not be carried into captivity. And then the Ethiopians tried the same thing. And he went into the temple again and he prayed. He rent his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes. God delivered him. Said an angel came through the camp that night and smote all of the Ethiopians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible has a promise for you and for me who do the right thing. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19 says this. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. What a promise. Sometimes the enemy comes at us like a flood. And we think we're about to lose the battle and all hope is gone. But God says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And you know in battle, the standard is the flag that of that particular unit. And you know, our standard is the cross of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. So when the enemy comes in, he comes against you, just lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Says, just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Hallelujah. When all hell breaks loose in your life, and you can't seem to put the pieces together, remember, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's going to lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. When you think everything is out of control and you have no power and the devil has run havoc through your house and you think that your children are out of control and there's no hope, but God says he's going to lift up the standard against the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There shall be deliverance in your house. The Spirit of the Lord is going to deliver, hallelujah, all of your children unto righteousness. Hallelujah. You can't fret. You don't need to fret because the Spirit of the Lord is at work. No devil can stand in his presence. Hallelujah. When the power of the Lord is working in God's people, there is no devil that can capture the children of God. Hallelujah. I don't care what they told you in the doctor's office. The Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a standard against that devil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care what they told you about your children. And they had this and they had that. But I'm telling you that the Spirit of the Lord is about to lift up a standard in this place today. When you see the standard, as they do in the armies, everybody is supposed to rally around that standard because the victory is sure. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes. Let's do the right thing. Yeah. Right. Have the Lord on our side. Because when the Lord is on our side, hallelujah. Glory. Says he'll fight our battles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit will lift up a standard. When the Spirit starts moving, there's nothing on earth that can stop him. Hallelujah. 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 So don't worry about doing what everybody else is doing. And don't worry about doing what they're doing. Let's do the right thing. Some might say, well, look, let's take all of the children and let's have children's church. Set them all up there together. Separate them from. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Separate them from the rest of the congregation. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to teach them. Teach them the right way. Teach them. Do the right thing. I keep telling people that discipline must be learned before. You know, every soldier knows this. Discipline has to be instilled before you go to war. It's too late when the battle starts to get discipline. Hallelujah. 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 I didn't understand when I was in Marine Corps boot camp and we were down Paris Island, and the rules were and the discipline was nobody was allowed to smack a sand flea. And if anybody's been down that part of South Carolina, you know that in the spring, those sand fleas bite and they hurt. But the last thing you want to do is smack a sand flea. And so it was protocol that we would stand at attention, let the sand fleas bite, and you better not flinch. And if you flinched, then you had to deal with your drill instructor. And I thought that was the silliest thing that we could ever do. But you know one thing? When I got to Southeast Asia, when I was in Vietnam, one day we were on a patrol. And you know, on that particular day, my trousers were torn. And right up around my thigh, you know, it was opened up. And my thighs were exposed. And when we came through a certain village, the enemy came and opened fire from behind. And when we went to jump into the hedge line, I landed in a pile of red ants. We ain't talking about sand flea. We're talking about red ants. And I opened up my gun, and I started firing. And because of the traces, the enemy could see exactly where I was, and he began shooting back, and the rounds were landing in the sand between me and my team leader. And just about then, the ants began to bite. If I had not been disciplined, hallelujah, I would probably move and started scratching and might not be here today. But discipline says, hallelujah, don't move. I don't care how much it hurts. Don't move. Hallelujah. So discipline has its benefits in life. But you can't wait until you get in the battle to learn it. You've got to learn it when you're in boot camp, school, church, home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you learn the right thing, you will do the right thing. How many know that? Hallelujah. But how can you learn the right thing if nobody's teaching you the right thing? We endeavor here with all of our might to do and to teach the right thing. And we pray that everybody here will be blessed. Hallelujah. By doing the right thing. How many want to do the right thing today? Hallelujah. How many know that when you do the right thing, the enemy can't destroy you? Hallelujah. I don't care how hard he pushes. When he comes in like a flood, said the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. The standard is the right thing. The standard is the discipline that you have received all your life. Hallelujah. Yes. Train a child in the way that he should go. And when he is grown, he will not depart from it.